16, I just want to say again how encouraging it is to be with Mark and Cindy and their labors for the Lord, not only going the extra mile, since we're on a driving illustration, going the extra mile, but really giving it all they have. And I know together with that, all of the efforts that they put into the activities and directing the conference week, also enjoying such good fellowship in the whole process. That's really what makes the difference. And whenever I think of a conference, I usually realize and remind myself, as well as appreciate, the fellowship that's enjoyed through a conference really is the redeeming fact of any time together with fellow saints. It's, as we often say, it's a foretaste of what God has in store for us when we meet over there. Well, we've been rolling down the road to righteousness. And we have traveled right along. We got on the road. We broke down. We got directions. We found a good road. We had to make a decision on which way we should go. We got on a road less traveled, but the most important. And then we took an overpass. And now we're on the homeward stretch. On the road home, we've been holding it in the road, but now it's time to pull into the driveway. And we're going to turn off the keys, and the seatbelt light is going to go off, and we're home free. It's amazing as we consider what we have in this last chapter of the book of Romans. There are saints along the way that make the road home wonderful. Someone says, well, you must really enjoy traveling. I can't stand traveling. Before we started traveling, we thought, well, how glamorous it must be to travel, especially overseas. How many bags can we carry? Well, you can carry 2 bags each, 70 pounds each, but you have to pick them up. And all of a sudden, traveling loses its glamour. The only great thing about traveling is the saints that you meet wherever you go, and how true it is at a conference like this, and how much we can identify with this last chapter, because some of you we've met for the first time, but we won't forget you. And some we've met before, and we know you better. And it must be that same way as Paul picks up his last statement as he comes into a driveway and he greets some people that he never has met before, ever, but knows them by name and has not ceased to pray for them since he heard of their faith. And others that he knows well and he encourages in the work in Rome. And some who are with him that he says, I'm passing on their greetings to you. That's the kind of chapter this last chapter is in the book of Romans. Let's just notice a couple of verses, and then we'll, of course, ask the Lord to bless them to our hearts. Notice in chapter 16, verse 1, it says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed, she has been a helper of many, and of myself also. Verse 3 says, Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Now we'll just pause there and go right over to verse 25. Verse 25 says, Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now has been made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures has been made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for the obedience to the faith. To God, alone wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. And close out this reading with me. Amen. Shall we ask the Lord to direct us in these little thoughts from the driveway stop in the book of Romans? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you now for the finish of a good conference week. But as we finish and even turn the keys off in our little illustration, we thank you, Father, that there are special ones to make mention of along the way. Saints to greet and greetings to send. Warnings to receive and encouragement for the real road home. We pray these things might become a reality in this last time together, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, those saints along the way start with a very special lady. Her name is Phoebe. Her name actually means to shine. You've met people like that, haven't you? That they just seem to show the countenance of the Lord. A happy face oftentimes is the greatest testimony we can have. And Phoebe had that kind of shining countenance for the Lord. She was a servant. as it's translated in some places, a deaconess. She actually did the work as she ministered to the needs of the people. No doubt, being from Cenchrea, she was probably carrying this letter to Rome for the Apostle Paul. I think about what God has given to us in ministry, all of us. We too have been entrusted with a message to take home to Rome, as it is. And as we take that message, realize that it's a message that's been entrusted to us from the Lord. He transmits the message from heaven to his apostles, who wrote it down in the Word of God, and they transmit it, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, to us. And that we entrust these things to faithful men who will be able to do the same thing as well. It's the passing on of the truth of God, but thank God that it's written in black and white so we can't make a mistake. It's not just word of mouth, but it's the Word of God that we pass on. The same way that Phoebe, our sister, has been entrusted with the Word of God, we too have been entrusted. We have a good example to follow in her particular case. Paul says, I want you to receive her in a worthy manner as a saint. Nice to be received, isn't it? You're not received everywhere you go, you understand. We've been kicked out of a lot of good places. But Paul says, listen, when it comes to a church, a local body of believers, and a saint like Phoebe comes, listen, you receive her in a worthy manner, in a way that becometh saints. And anything she needs help on, I want you to assist her in her business. Whatever she has need of you. Because, Paul says, she's been a help to many. And she's also helped me, myself, he says. It's nice when you know saints like that. We know more and more of them than ever before. Some of these dear ones have already gone on home to glory, haven't they? Someone was telling me the other day, I know more people in heaven than I know on earth. That makes heaven even dearer, doesn't it, as we're on our road home. But while we're here, Paul says, I want you to help her out. She's been a real servant. It's nice to serve servants, isn't it? And so Paul says, you treat her in a royal way. And then in verses 3 through 5, we see Priscilla and Aquila. They're no strangers to us. This is one of the six times that they're mentioned in the New Testament. Paul says sometimes it's Priscilla and Aquila, sometimes it's Aquila and Priscilla. In fact, I count up three of each. Equal billing, wouldn't you say? But isn't it nice to meet couples that serve the Lord together? Norm and Jeannie, Tom and Ruth, Mark and Cindy, Scott and Sherry, and the list goes on and on, doesn't it? They just seem to go together. Now, I find out that all the sisters in the meeting, they always refer to us as Nancy and Rex. And all the men in the meeting, they always say, oh, yeah, we're going over to Rex and Nancy's. And I don't know if it's the woman's angle or the men's angle or whatever, but Paul, he played it fair. Sometimes he said Aquila and Priscilla. Sometimes he said Prisca and Aquila. And it was back and forth like that. But they were in the service of the Lord together. Not only with both feet, but even with their necks. You see in verse 4, he said, they risked their necks for my life. Now, we don't know the details on it. We just know that they did it. But it's no surprise. They were tent makers with the Apostle Paul in Corinth. And while they were in Corinth, they opened their doors to the church that met in their house. And here at Rome, they opened the doors to the church there, as you see in verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. That's where the church started. That's where local assemblies begin. Perhaps you're using your house to entertain the saints. Perhaps even on a regular basis, you're having people in. You never know what it might be. It might be the beginnings of a brand new local assembly and testimony in your community. That's the way it should be. That might make your neighbors a little bit frustrated on Friday night when they hear all this singing and all these cars parked along the road and all those people laughing and carrying Bibles into their house and having a good time together in fellowship. Might make them a little bit frustrated. So you make sure you invite them too. And make it an outreach from your home. Obviously, this is what Priscilla and Aquila did. I mean, Aquila and Priscilla. No, it's Priscilla and Aquila. Well, you understand. They were reaching out both ways, and when you have two doing the same thing, what a testimony it is. Now, I know some people that are single for the Lord, and they're powerfully single for the Lord. In fact, I have one dear friend down in the Bahamas. She's not married yet, and sometimes some of the fellows and also ladies, they like to pick on her, and she knows how to quiet us down. She said, tell you what, you show me a couple that were serving the Lord before they got married, that are serving the Lord to the same degree, that they were before they got married, now that they're married. And I'll be glad to get married. Oh, she has a good point. But I know a couple of those couples. Here's one of them, Priscilla and Aquila. If they were single, they'd be serving the Lord the same way. And now that they're married, they just say, we can double our efforts. But whether you're single or whether you're married, here's the whole point. Give it all to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your feet in it, make tents with your hands if you have to, and risk your necks for the work of the gospel. Paul says, listen, you greet them too. They're my fellow workers. Verse 5 tells us about a man in the second half of that verse. His name is Epaphras, and he is the first fruits, or of the first fruits, of Achaia to Christ. In other words, he was some of the first converts in Achaia. His name means praiseworthy. That's a nice name, isn't it? What does your name mean? Well, we played with that a little bit earlier this week. Much to my sorrow, we played with it. And verse 6, Mary, who labored much for us, and Andronicus and Junia in verse 7, they are fellow prisoners. They're noted by the apostles. And Paul says, they were saved before I was. Nice to know someone older in the faith, isn't it? And then he says in verse 8, Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. These are wonderful comments, aren't they? If you were to name certain people, all of a sudden their particular personality or their characteristics, they come to mind, don't they? Or perhaps something they've done. And as Paul mentions these names, I want you to remember that he's never met some of these people before, but yet he knows about them. And so he says, Amplius, beloved in the Lord, and then Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Look in verse 10. This must be the one who started Awana. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Approved workmen are not ashamed. Awana. He must be the Awana originator. And then you come to the household of someone, Aristobulus. And his household would refer to those who were servants working in his home. It's nice to know everyone, isn't it? To know them by name, not just to ignore those who work hard in service or in custodial work. And, well, let me ask you, when the garbage man drives by, do you wave at him? He might be a fellow saint, you know. The butler, do you know his name? Or do you just call him Giles for short? No, you need to know these people. Paul says, I want you to greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. And in verse 11, he says, greet Herodian, my kinsman, evidently Jewish. And then greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who were in the Lord. Again, slaves who are working for Narcissus. And then verse 12, I don't know if these people are twins or what, but it's Tryphena and Tryphosa. And I guess if you were going to have a Roman set of twins, these would be a good set of names to put on them, like Sim and Tim. Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Every time we prayed for Persis Bear, I always thought of this particular verse. The beloved Persis, that's what his name means, and he labored much in the Lord. And greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Evidently, the relation there, or else at least helped maternally. Have you found out in Christ, no matter what age you are, there are many mothers in the church? Sometimes you get mothered so much you can hardly stand it. And thank God for fathers, but also for brothers and sisters. And whether there's a relation here or not, Paul says, I want you to greet Rufus and his mother and mine. I'm sure he called a lot of the dear older sisters mom as they ministered to him. But then he has groups of saints in verse 14. He says, I want you to greet Asyncritus, or how does he? Asyncritus, I guess it would be, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. And then another group in verse 15, greet Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And of course, a holy kiss means that it has purity. Sometimes a handshake is holier than a kiss, by the way. But whatever it may be, if it's down south, it might be a holy hug or a holy kiss up north, or maybe just a good, firm handshake. But he says, I want you to greet one another too. It's kind of like what they do at some meetings. Let's sing Heavenly Sunshine and go around and greet your neighbor, someone who, that you haven't greeted yet. Paul says, I want you to greet each other for me. And give them my greeting. And then he says, and all the saints who are with them, so you don't leave anyone out. I don't know if we know the importance of greeting, but we should. Many times people, because of not receiving a greeting, never come back to a meeting. Now, we'd like to think it's the good preaching or the great singing or even the doctrinal stance that brings people back to a local gathering of believers. But I have to tell you, when I talk to people who came the second time and I ask them, what brought you back the second time? You know what they always tell me? That's a friendly group of people there. How important is a greeting? I don't think we could ever know the great importance of just greeting someone and saying, hello, my name is. I was traveling out in Canada and went to a meeting, and as the guest speaker, no one greeted me. So I do what I always do. I start greeting other people. Well, there was one lady who greeted me. She said, I'm visiting here today. My name's Sheila. I said, I'm visiting too, and we're in good company. The funny thing was that the elder that we stayed with that night said, I don't understand it. People come, but they never come back. We're preaching the right message, and we're singing the good old songs. But if you're not a friendly group, and there's not a greeting waiting for you there, you have a tendency to say, I don't feel welcome. Paul, again, he's greeting people he's never even met before. And then he says, just in case I left someone out, I want you to greet one another and greet all the saints who are with them. Good, isn't it? To greet one another in a proper way in the Lord and also to tell them goodbye. Verses 17 and 18 start with another section. That first section is almost like a mini judgment seat, isn't it? How will you be remembered? I hope it's the same way that some of those have been remembered. The psalmist said, mark the blameless man. But here Paul says, you mark the troublemaker. For in verses 17 through 20, he warns us about some to, one more play on words, you don't mind, do you? Let's steer clear of them in our drive home. Steering clear of those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Notice what he also says in verses 18 through 20. For those who are of such, or those who are such, do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by smooth words and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. Those who cause divisions and those who cause trouble, just stay away from them. Someone said, you know, we can all be an example. You can be a bad example. Paul says, learn from the bad examples. Don't hang around with them, because then you start being more like them. But rather, by your own good behavior, you be an example to them. But avoid those and mark or note those who cause divisions. Verse 20, it's no surprise that he would mention the adversary right in this same section. Because the devil, Lucifer, as an angel of light, and his helpers or emissaries, they work as workers of righteousness. Many times they come in not sparing the flock. And so he says, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. One day, the victory will be complete. And right under our own feet, as we mentioned, the devil will be crushed. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. But that's not the end. Now, Paul says, the people who are riding with me, they saw me pick up my cell phone and call you, and they said, tell them we said, hey. And so now he's going to pass on greetings from the people with him, people like Timothy. He's my fellow worker. And Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsman, they greet you. And I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, he must be Paul's traveling secretary, writing it down while Paul's driving. Verse 23, Gaius, my host, he not only put up with me, but he put me up. And the whole house who meets, or the host of the whole church who meets in his house, he greets you too. Erastus, thank the Lord we got the money bags with us. He's the treasurer of the city of Corinth. He greets you too. Now, he wasn't skimming off the top, you understand, but it's good to have someone who's money-wise along with you. We would do well in ministry not to touch the money, but have somebody else do the touching. a great downfall for many who are in ministry. Let someone else count the money. Let him ride with you, but let someone else count the money. Erastus, along with Paul, he greets you. And Quartus, he's a brother. Listen, it's not that Paul couldn't think of anything to say about him, but being called a brother sometimes is the best thing you can call someone, a brother in the Lord. And he not only includes all these greetings, but he ends with blessings. And that's even better. It's like greetings from the heart of God, his benediction of blessings that he presents to us. Again in verse 24, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And when he says amen, that means let it be so. Interesting in the day we live, isn't it? I turn on the television preachers that I love dearly, and when I hear them say something like, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, it closes with a hearty round of applause. And I think, wait a minute, something's not quite the same. I'm not throwing off on applause, but I want to tell you the difference. Applause means, I like what he said. Amen means, let it be so in my life. One is appreciation, the other is application. And while there may be times for applause, it's true. But don't leave out the amen. Paul has them all the way through his letter, and there's a time for applause, yes, when we appreciate what someone has done or what someone says, but there's a time to say amen. Lord, let it be so in my life. And so Paul says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen, he says. I want it to be a reality for you. And then his benediction says of blessing, now to him. Very similar to many of these passages. Unto him. Now to him. He's able. Now that can only be one person. Because if it's up to us, we're not able. But when it comes to him, he is able. To do what? Well, to do what we can't do. Now, in Christ, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We do what we can do. But what we can't do, he does. That's why the benediction is this way. Now, to him who is able to do what? To establish you according to my good news or gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now has been made manifest. How is it manifest? Not only through Paul's writing, but he goes all the way back as he's quoted all along the roadway through the prophetic scriptures that has been made known to all nations. And what is that? That the Gentiles are coming into Christ. To the Jew first, Paul started out, and now he stresses it again, and then to the Gentiles or to the Greeks, according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. Again, Jew and Gentile alike, by faith in Christ. And all this praise and blessing now goes back unto God, to him, to God, alone wise, be glory through Jesus Christ, forever. Well, that's a long benediction, isn't it? But it's only just begun right here. And while we pull into the driveway, the road that we've been on leads home. It went by way of the cross, to the open tomb, to the ascension into glory, to the evangelization of the entire world, and one day, gathering unto him, taking us to the Father's house, and safe there in the Father's heart. He'll have the glory for all eternity. Amen is exactly right. Let it be so, Lord, in my life and throughout them. Well, I hope you're not road weary, and especially weary of me. But thank the Lord for the good times we've had together on this road to righteousness. If we don't see you on another road before the Lord be come, let's go up together in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. What a comfort it is to my heart. And thank God for you and the way that you've made this conference so special. To others who have just come in, we're finishing our trip and you're starting yours. And we trust the Lord to give you journeying mercies all the way home and a joy in our journey back to heaven. Shall we pray? Father, once again, we thank you for the travel that you've given us through your word. We pray that as we've been rolling along the highway to righteousness, that many have seen things that they've not noticed on this trip before. And Father, for those who have seen scenery that is familiar, we pray there's been a greater appreciation along the road too. We thank you, Father, for your Spirit who has guided us along the way, and for the driver, the Apostle Paul, as he's written to us about this way. But we thank you expressly for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one to whom belongs all the glory and the honor forevermore. We pray that he might be exalted and praised and pleased by everything that's been said and done and even considered in the hearts of all of us as we've gone through this great book of the book of Romans. Father, continue to bless these things to our hearts and bring much fruit from it. For your honor and glory, we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.